Director Minoru Kawasaki is back again to skewer his childhood kaiju loves, but this time taking aim at the Superman of Japan, Ultraman, taking the over 50-year-old icon down a peg for its half-century anniversary. Will this film be more fluff than fandom puffiness? And will a kaiju comedy make us chortle? Find out this week. This is Kaiju vs. History, Outer Man.
Welcome back to Kaiju versus History. This is your alien kaiju enemy lover, Patrick. And joining me is the second actor to play in the Heisei series and a bar owner, Miles. Hey, Miles.
Good evening. I caught myself doing my cosmic crit.
Pretty good.
Because so for those who don't know, like we play with a bunch of ragamuffins, particularly Tyler and Drew, who's cannot be trusted just to say hello in the weekly introductions. And so I have made it my mission in the 5 years that we've played together is I just say good evening and a hello and just try to keep the ball rolling. I don't try to like make some pithy reference to whatever Patrick's referring to that week. And
yeah, get to the podcast episode.
Yeah. And these two chuckleheads are trying to one up each other with yucks that always fail. But anyway, enough about a show that isn't bearing any meaning for tonight. Let's talk about Outer Man, which is, you know, initially when it comes to tokusatsu stuff, I would say is more can be kaiju adjacent. But this one, the kaiju is kind of the main character.
Surprisingly, yeah. And I don't think I knew that when I was previewing it. I thought it was just like another kind of generic kaiju versus, you know, hero spoof from Minoru Kawasaki, who we've already seen here on the podcast, of course. He's the director of Monster X Strikes Back, Attack the G8 Summit from 2008, which I really enjoyed. And we've already talked about how we watched a 2020 film he did called Monster Seafood Wars, but we will be doing that on the podcast. And
somehow we missed the movie between Outer Man and Monster X Strikes Back. Patrick, what was that movie again?
Well, there's a couple, but the one that
there's specifically one that he directed.
Well, there's a couple. Like I said, it's not even listed on his Wikipedia page, but he has.
Yes, it is.
Well, there's another one called Earth Defense Widow, which is another kaiju spoof that I own a Japanese copy of, but it's not translated into English, so I can't really watch it. But it's about a woman who becomes aroused when a kaiju attacks. She's like psychically linked to a kaiju attacking. But if you're talking about Nico Ramen Taisho, the English name for it is Pussy Soup, and it is about a cat who opens up a ramen shop. So pussy as in pussy cat.
Yeah,
no, but that's a pretty good title.
Which is what makes it so great, because it's like, oh, this is a wholesome. Well, I mean, it's Minoru Kawasaki, so I doubt it's wholesome. But
Minoru Kawasaki, no,
I remember we talked about doing Earth Defense Widow, but
now. I was going to make it our Christmas episode. Yeah,
yeah, but I was like, I don't want to watch a movie that doesn't have any subtitles, because I was just like, well, I'm just not gonna.
As excited as I am just to watch it and talk about it with folks, and I definitely, like I said, I love Kawasaki's films now. You know, there's almost no information about this film in English anywhere on the internet, because it's not been released in English. So I feel like it would be torturous to fans to be like, hey, there's another great movie by, I mean, I guess I'm doing it now, a great movie by the same director that you can't have access to unless you spend $20 on a physical media DVD, and then you'll have to learn Japanese to really get it.
And what's so funny is I have met one of the suit actors who is in four of his movies.
Right, right. Yeah.
Hurricane Ryu
Talked about that.
Is in Monster X Strikes Back, Earth Defense Widow, Kaiju Mono, and Monster Seafood Wars, playing a suit actor in three of them.
Yes, he has a out of suit actor role, I think, in
Kaiji Mono.
Yeah, which is kind of fun. But yeah, he's a Godzilla suit actor, of course, as well. And you got to meet him at
Toy Con. Yeah, Retro Toy Con in Greenville, South Carolina. They had Tutum Kitagawa and Hurricane Ryu as to both having been in the Godzilla franchise. And which was awesome because, you know, I never thought I would ever get to meet an actual Japanese kaiju suit actor, you know, and especially since one of them was a suit actor for the Super Sentai series, that was, you know, a pretty big deal for me as well. They were exceptional guests. They were, I think, a little surprised that their lines were as long as they got, or that people like cared as much in, you know, for them, the middle of nowhere United States.
Please.
But I think it also shows like the love that the kaiju fandom has grown, and especially for the suit actors in especially in the last like 10 years, like the deep love and respect that we have for the ones and that we still have. And it's great, because I know we had lost one recently. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just kind of, and they were both really cool. And like, when you take a photo, I'm like, oh, do the Godzilla pose. Like, they're trying to get you into it and like doing a little Super Sentai pose. And it was a blast. It was wonderful. They were very, very down to earth, cool people.
Yeah, Hurricane Ryu seems like a really energetic suitamator, you know?
Yeah. But no, he's got a lot of energy. I was like, I mean, they're both very, very much up in years, but yeah, they still have a lot of energy, and it was very, very cool to meet them. Unfortunately, not in this one.
So that, you know, we're just talking about Minoru Kawasaki's work, and extremely surprisingly, this film is currently, when we're recording this, on Amazon Prime. It's a movie, one of his two that are free on there, the other being Monster Seafood Wars, but just so little of his work is brought over here. I found them on Tubi before, but
I have to say, I think this might be a case of somebody uploading it and just nobody noticing, because
well,
the localization did not seem very official.
Well, I can't talk about Outer Man too much, but I do know Monster Seafood Wars was brought over and localized by
SRS.
SRS Cinema, yeah.
Yeah.
So they actually have a number of films that are on
Amazon. They have Prime. Monster X, right?
No, they did Space Monster, Mongwagui.
Yeah, I remember that one, but I thought they also had another one of his movies.
Oh, they might have at the time we did Monster X Strikes Back, but I don't see it on there now.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But
I gotta say, this localization hurt. Sometimes I was translating the translated in some scenes, so I feel like it was probably maybe a fan situation, or maybe it was run through, you know, Google Translate or something. Because for the most part, you can tell. I mean, you can tell what the conversation's about, but some of it is a little awkward, and that typically happens in fan situations. And this certainly has happened with Japanese movies before, because famously One Cut of the Dead was uploaded on Amazon Prime, and the company was not aware of it, and that became a big deal.
It's pretty funny. Right, so we are of course talking about 2015's Outer Man this week, and Outer Man is, I guess, now the third full kind of kaiju movie that he's done. Like we said, Monster X Strikes Back, also Earth Defense Widow, and he'll go on to make a couple more, which is pretty fun. I'm a big fan of the director. Let's get into talking about Outer Man.
Yeah, so Outer Man is kind of a meta parody of the Ultra franchise. Mm-hmm. And I actively love that, like, it's about a franchise that exists in universe called Outer Man. And like, it starts, you've got like three different Outer Men who are at a convention, which is like the most hilariously blocked convention I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, they literally just got a conference room and put these three guys in there and made no effort to make it look like an actual convention.
I mean, to be fair, it just looks like a meeting room at a hotel, which is what it is, but that's also where you know, otaku conventions like happened. So it's like, all right,
by this point in time, they have rooms, they have banners. Like,
yeah, I mean, there's again, no banners too.
I just saw two Godzilla actors. They at least had banners. Like, and so if someone got the Ultra actors, there would at least be something. And again, like, you know, Kawasaki, you know, very, very, works very much in the low budget space. And I think that's what makes this movie so much more impressive, because he does do a lot, and frankly, a lot more with both the concept and the execution than I really would have given him credit for going into this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I really do enjoy the universe here. Not much in the way of alternative titles for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Patrick, what's in the title? Sorry. We just went right into it.
Well, that, I was keying you up to talk about it.
I know.
The title literally, I think, just translates to like the katakana sounds for Outa Man in Japanese, or Outer Man. The Chinese title for this translates to Ultraman or Cosmic Ultraman, which is like, you know, like it uses the same characters for that Ultraman does, which I think is hilarious. But those characters, I think, mean like space alien cop or something like that, you know, something weird. But yeah, Outer Man is like you said, the parody of Ultraman, and it is both an in-universe TV show within the universe and also a monster that shows up kind of towards the end.
And
yes. When did Ultraman came out? In 66?
Yes.
60.
I believe it was 66.
Go back to our notes. Ultraman. Yeah. So it was 1966. So I think had not gotten to its 50th anniversary yet.
Yeah, I think it's the 2015? Year before the 50th. But they talk about the 50th anniversary. Yes. So this is certainly released with that in mind.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a joke about, like, can you imagine someone liking a series after 50 years? Like,
yeah.
The nerds at the convention do. But yeah, in the universe, it is suggested that aliens came to Earth to seed the idea of a friendly,
great idea.
So when the actual alien Outer Man comes and starts terraforming the planet with like poison gas, which is pretty cool and very Showa era plot. When that happens, people would not like look twice or try to fight back against him. So yeah, pretty unique idea. The part of the plot that loses me a little bit is the detector that they have for people to see how much they love Outer Man, and like only people that have no love for the TV show can like merge with the other alien, the alien Sylvie, which is in the universe like the bad guy that Outer Man protects Earth from, but in reality is like a space wanderer whose species was destroyed by the Outer Man. Kind of, they yeah, actually kind of remind me of Invincible and the Ultramites or what have you.
Yeah, no. So I love this, because one of the background things is what I thought would be one of the main characters is, I cannot remember her name. She plays the aunt of a little boy named Hiroshi, and she used to be an actress in the Outer Man franchise. We're told, we don't see any scenes that she's in. Miki, I think is her name.
Miki, and yes. Yeah, so I think she was specifically on like only one of the series.
I don't know if they ever specify, or at least my copy didn't really specify. It's one of the things
do all the actors know her?
I think she was in one iteration is what it was.
Yeah, yeah, that's why.
And I know at least the Outer Man, was it Zero, that runs that shop knows her. I don't know how familiar they seem to. I mean, I think they seem to know her because they're friends with the other one. But I this is the one part I wish the movie could have been fleshed out a little more, because this is not a super lengthy film. But it's like 68 minutes or something like that, or 78 minutes.
It's like 80. I feel like it's like a hour and 20.
It's very short.
And it goes by very quickly. But like towards the end, like all the actors are convinced to like look for the little boy. I was like, how do the other two know the kid? I was like, they have a scene where they met him.
Yeah, I
like,
think they're just friendly because they know her through the other Ultraman. Outer Man. I'm sorry. I'm gonna do that the entire episode. Yeah. It's the one thing I would have liked to flesh out a little more is some of those characters, specifically Miki and even Hiroshi. But so Hiroshi is, that's his name, right? Am I not?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Hiroshi.
So he's fun because we meet him. He's watching an episode of Outer Man with his auntie, and he specifically is rooting for this one kaiju. Like, he is a fan specifically of the one kaiju, Sylphie.
The monster, Sylphie, yes. Who is...
Which I found pretty endearing.
Is probably closest to Ultraman's villain, Batara? No. What's the... That's,
Batara was
Ultraman. It's from like,
and I mean, I love this because you know, it's the same thing as like brooding for or being a fan of certain monsters and everything. But he loves this particular Baltan. Kaiju.
Yes, Baltan. Sorry.
Okay,
Baltan is like the classic alien with like the claw hands, and so Sylvie has a little bit of a similarity, but interestingly, is named after the actress who I think did the.
Oh, cool.
The noises that Baltan did in the Ultraman show. I forget where I found that tidbit. Sorry, Miles. Go right ahead.
No. So he's a big fan of this one character, knows his movesets, and is like, no, if he were given the proper chance and didn't, you know, kind of goof around, he could easily be Outer Man. And he's bullied because he's a fan of this character, which is silly. Because all the kids are playing Outer Man and he wants to be the kaiju, and of course they all beat him up. And but yeah, he is ride or die for this one alien. And then we get the introduction of Outer Man in reality. We get we have the earthquakes, we get the gigantic Outer Man appearing, and he's basically saying, I am going to basically solve all of your environmental problems. And you will not have to worry about them anymore. Of course. Any viewer is like, yeah, we're not going to have to worry about it anymore because we're all going to be dead, which is exactly what the situation is. And so I do like some of the things where like the Japanese Defense Force is like trying to find people who actively have no affinity for Outer Man. And they find that the three actors who play Outer Man are the most qualified.
I mean, it's funny. In the fact that it's like
very meta joke.
Well, they wouldn't be a fan of the series because they, you know, saw how the sausage was made, you know, but I feel like they would like Ultraman in general because a lot of them got jobs because of him. But
well, that was what I was thinking too, but they were just like they hate all the like, most of them have a bitterness because it's the only thing they're ever going to be known for. Yes, and
I do like that old,
which is a real thing that happens to actors in both the Power Rangers and Super Sentai world.
Yes, the show did remind me a lot of the Super Sentai kind of fandom, because I feel like Ultraman would be a little more in Japan revered, but maybe not.
There's a conversation
characters are Heisei actors specifically, well, you know.
Yes, and that was about to bring that up because they specifically talk about how some of the older fans were, oh, we're more a fan of the Showa era because mm-hmm. it looked better and there's too much CGI in this new era. And so it does talk about that. So the Heisei era, you know, Hiroshi is a fan of that because that's for him. And this is also in the Heisei / millennial era of the Ultra series. It became even more and more of a kid show and in some aspects. So I can see that being kind of the commentary just, on fans in general. I do love they have the Heisei Showa conversation, and did find out that Maruyama, who was the illustrator and characters designer of the Heisei Ultras mm-hmm. and the Kaiju in the designed the Outer Man suit and the Sylvie suit.
There's a lot of great connections that Minoru Kawasaki gets to make between the actual Ultraman series production and this little, I really think it is kind of a love letter more than a spoof of
Ultraman. Oh, no, it's a parody, but like parody doesn't have to be I don't like the thing. Like, sometimes parody is, oh, I'm having a lark, but it's a lark out of love. And that was kind of my problem with Monster X Attack of the G8 Summit. I didn't feel that as much in that movie. I feel it here. Like, the tonal shift for me is so much more consistent with this film. And I frankly think, like, might be my favorite movie of his so far.
It's going to be hard to top this one. Yeah, the suit actor who was Outer Man in this film, Shinichiro Wada, was also Ultraman Mebius, the 2006 Ultraman. So not a Heisei. I mean, I guess technically that's still
Heisei. Yeah, it was technically Heisei, yeah.
But like, I was imagining it was like, these were like 90s actors or later 90s, but you know, they've been out of work for maybe a little while from the series.
Which is funny because like he is not a victim of that problem. Like,
well, he's continued to work.
He gets roles constantly. Sometimes there's an episode here or there, but like he works a lot.
He was the suit actor for Akiba Red in the Super Sentai Akiba Ranger show as well.
I love Akiba Ranger so much.
recently has done the Kamen Rider Beyond Generations. He's done a lot of like legitimate kind of tokusatsu shows. Not as many movies, but has done more shows as well. I feel like that's the case of most of the actors in this film, is they do have some connection to Ultraman or Super Sentai. And that's just kind of the world that Minoru Kawasaki gets to play around with here with this film.
It's what you want to see in a movie like this. And
yeah,
I mean, there's so many fun jokes. Like, they talk about how, like, you know, oh yeah, we like the Showa era better, except for the actual Outer Man designs, because it looks so weird. And and that is absolutely a comment that is said about the Showa era Ultraman, because at once you get to like Ultra 7 and stuff, like, they just get weirder and weirder looking. And
to be fair, I really like the designs in this movie, the Outer Man design especially, but it does look like 2000s Heisei Ultraman, which is pretty, by design, because it's literally designed by people that worked on that show. But I also really liked the Sylvie alien suit. Not that it's
like super
utilized, but yeah, it's just one of those things that it's all done very well, very technical, and pretty fun. I don't know else to describe it. It definitely has, you can just feel the love for these shows kind of dripping from this film. What else is there to say? The main actors I thought were pretty good in the series. We didn't really talk about, but besides the Heisei actors, there's also a trio of otaku who you don't think are going to be like in the movie very long, but they come back. They're like the kaiju research team
feel like the lone gunman from the X-Files or something. They do.
They're tasked by a defense operative who is also a Outer Man fan to go back through the show and like find if there's some weakness, like if, you know, consciously or subconsciously the creators of the show were able to show the main character Outer Man's weakness. And they found it in like the lost episode, I think, is the what the plot says that they hint at a little bit earlier on. Maybe that's why it was the lost episode, but I thought that was a fun little subplot.
I love the sub again. I wish just everything just needed a little more fleshing out for me. Yeah.
It could have used an extra 10 minutes.
Yeah, I honestly believe that. And I loved that the kind of Chekhov's gun of the lost episode kind of came back. And I didn't even expect them to really do, like, I know they hinted at it, but I was like, oh yeah, it'd be really cool if they said like the aliens had put Outer Man here or put the idea there to basically soften humanity up for takeover. And they did that. I thought it was I think it's just a super fun concept. It is just a big old love letter to the Ultra series. And I think that despite any of its failings, it absolutely succeeds in what it sets out to do.
Yes, surprisingly. Let's get to rating this guy.
I did want to ask you one thing before it's going to factor into our ratings. But how did you feel about the actual kaiju action, the Ultraman kaiju action here?
So it is not really movie quality because it's trying to emulate the TV show. The first scene of the movie is technically a scene from the TV show. So it's like, you know, obviously a model set that they're fighting on, and it's made to look like that. But hilariously, when they get to the actual, like, real world fights at the end of the movie,
recycle that footage.
It looks the exact same.
No, they absolutely recycle some of that footage. It's great. Well, I don't know if it's
the footage necessarily, but it's obviously the exact same two suits. They didn't make new suits for, like, TV show. You know, looks exactly what they look like in real life, which I think is just funny. You know,
it is very funny. I think some of the kaiju action, I know it's on purpose, which I think both helps and hurts this movie. On one end, I like it. On the other end, I'm like, I kind of wished it looked a little better. And particularly the fights themselves.
That I am factoring that into my score because I did think in Monster X Strike Back, where it's also purposeful that they like reuse some of the 1960s film shots. Mm-hmm. It still looked really good when they had the new live action suit on screen and things like that. But yeah, I love this movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
Of all the comedic kind of kaiju films that we get to watch, you know, we only have a couple of series of people that do more than one. One is Shinpei Hayashiya, and the other is Minoru Kawasaki. And Minoru Kawasaki is one of my favorites. You know, we're almost a decade out from Big Man Japan and like some of the I would say what would be the revolution and like more independent comedic kaiju cinema coming out of Japan, your Death Kappas and whatnot. Minoru Kawasaki, that he just has like a full love for the medium that I think translates. And this one very much a love of Ultraman, specifically the Heisei Ultraman, but like really the entire series. And the world that this inhabits, the kind of meta kaiju world, I think is a lot of fun. And the twist of the Ultraman character, Outerman, being the bad guy in this is also a lot of fun. Just there's a lot of things that I guess I didn't expect from just doing like a quick trailer watch of this movie when we put it on the list. So I enjoy this immensely. I will watch this movie again at some point. This is probably the one I'll revisit from Minoru Kawasaki, especially if it stays on Amazon Prime and is like easy to watch. So I'm giving this a 9 out of 10. Really liked this one. What about you, Miles?
Yeah, for my personal enjoyment, I did like this very, very much. Some of the things that will come up a little bit later or come up in the next conversation does ping a little bit for me. But for my personal enjoyment, I'm happy with my score. I give it an 8 out of 10. I think it's great. I think it's very, very good. 8 is a very good score.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite get into the upper echelon for me. It's very, very close, but I think there's 10 minutes missing of this movie that can help really kind of round it out. Also, and it's hard for me to gauge it because of the subtitles that I had. I don't know if those are the official subtitles or not. Now, with that information, I could probably help a little bit more because maybe a better localization might have cleared some stuff up for me. And that could have brought me into possibly a 9. We'll see. But no, I think this is possibly my favorite film that he's done. I think every problem that I have really had with the last film of his that we watched, he kind of just stepped everything up. I feel the love. He knows exactly what to do with this material. And the fact that it's a love letter to the monster and not Ultraman in terms of like the actual plot is great. I think everything about this is executed exceptionally. It's very entertaining. It's very funny. It's a delightful movie, and I would highly encourage people to seek it out, especially when it's free to stream.
Yeah. Like I said, that was the big surprise of doing this episode. I really thought we were going to have to scrimp and save and pick up a copy somewhere or try to find another free one online. Yeah, this does seem one that would be right up SRS Cinema's alley. So I wish this did get a official release over here.
And this is a weird one because it feels like it's the one that's not, like, even on Wikipedia, it's the one of his movies that doesn't have like a hyperlink entry about it. Like, it's the hardest to find information on. And I feel like this probably should be his most mainstream movie in so many ways.
Yeah. I mean, it's as far as Ultraman finally getting kind of like a good US push with this Netflix animated film, the Netflix series, I feel like this would be a fun one to bring over. But yeah, like I said, I feel like if you're not plugged in to Ultraman, to this universe, then there might be a little bit lost in translation besides the actual film's translation. For the technical score, I'm digging it a couple of points because I feel like there's a lot going for this movie, and despite budget-wise, it seemingly having very similar effects to what I would think as a TV show of like 2015. I think it just works for this film because it's supposed to be imitating TVs from, you know, TV shows from the 90s or early 2000s. So I just think that Kawasaki really utilized the budget in smart ways for this film. The script is not as tight as it should be. I think some stuff could have been left out and some more of these character kind of connections added into the film. It seems to lose itself maybe just a little bit in the middle there, but yeah, very likable characters and really a good core story that follows it through to the end. I like the kid who likes the alien. He's getting bullied and the alien like comes and talks to him.
It's a very sweet moment.
It's just a sweet movie in general. And then he saves the kid from Outer Man. And good film. Given the technical score, an 8 out of 10. What about you, Miles?
Yeah, that's about where I am. I was wafting between a 7 and an 8, but my script problems are really the only real problems with this movie. Yeah, I do think it needs maybe another pass, fleshing out some characters, and that's really all it needs. I think it does execute its concept very, very well. I think it knew exactly what kind of movie it set out to be, and it nailed it. The tone is pitch perfect. I think it's one of the most consistent movies he's made so far. And yeah, I liked all of the characters. The script is a problem. And while I do understand the reasoning for some of the special effects stuff because of its association with a TV show, I was a little let down by the fights. I kind of wish it was a little bit more like a real cool, you know, ultra fight. That said, I still think that it far exceeded my expectations, and I would absolutely recommend it to people. So even though it does have some shortcomings, I don't mark them too much because of how much it does well.
Mm-hmm. So an 8 out of 10 as well?
Yes. We said.
But what about its importance, its kind of value as a kaiju film in the canon? Where are you
so on that? This is where I'm knocking it the most, you know. Mm-hmm. It does absolutely understand what it needs to be. And parody is very, very important. That said, like, it doesn't really move the needle. I don't know if it has something to say, in a sense. Like, it certainly is able to be a very fun meta ultra movie, which is still kaiju adjacent. So for me, I have a little difficulty rating it too high. I mean, this is a pretty obscure movie that I do want eyeballs on, but like it hasn't really pushed the genre anywhere. It doesn't take those tropes and do something. Well, it does some new stuff, but I can't give it like a very, very high score because of that. But I would still give it a 7. I think it's a very strong movie. It's a movie that needs to be seen by more people who are into this genre, and maybe helps you get into some tokusatsu stuff too. I think this is certainly a diamond in the rough. This is a movie that, like, it's a fun one to be like, oh, wait, have you seen Outer Man? And, it's this really fun meta parody of the Ultraman franchise. You will love it because, I mean, it's a great meta parody. I think for some of the stuff that we look for in the evocative kind of nature of things. I don't know if it fires at all cylinders there, but especially in terms of cultural relevance here. That said, I do think it should be an important movie. And that's why I'm kind of weighing the score a little bit, because I do want more people to see it. So I'm giving it a 7.
As far as like Minoru Kawasaki's films go, this is a 10 out of 10, I think, for its importance. As far as if this podcast was called Ultraman versus History Miles and we're just doing everything Ultraman related, this would be a 10 out of 10. But as just like a general kaiju movie, this is pretty low for me.
For a tokusatsu thing, absolutely, I'd give this a 10 out of 10.
If you are an Ultraman fan, this should be on your list. This was very fun.
I mean, I said at the top of the show, this is, you know, Ultra stuff is kaiju adjacent. However, because the kaiju is kind of sort of the main character in a sense.
Yeah.
And we didn't even talk about, like, I think all three of the Ultra guys have to combine to
with become the Sylvie alien. Yeah, it's just so weird, but it's such a Showa Heisei
so good
plot too. It's
such a tokusatsu plot. And I mean, listen, if you listen to More Your Nerd, you know I love me some tokusatsu. I can't get enough of it. And if we were talking about that kind of stuff, yes, this would be a 10 out of 10, or at least a 9 out of 10. But with kaiju, because it's so tangential, I think that I did have to knock it quite a bit. But at the same time, I think this is such a good find.
I really thought you would be knocking it a little bit harder, because I'm giving it a 6 out of 10. I'm kind of in the same vein here. I just think this is good film.
It gets
watch.
A little weighed more for me because I love tokusatsu so much, even though I'm more of a Sentai Power Ranger guy. But like,
the meta sense of it is just something we haven't seen in almost any kaiju movie. Probably the most it's been explored is Big Man Japan, but even that one, that's like a secondary aspect of that movie. Whereas this one, the meta kind of commentary is really the comedy that you're going for. And if you don't understand the Ultraman kind of at its core, then there's not as much that will resonate with you. But yeah, I still think this is a fun film. I like all Kawasaki's films, and I just want US releases of everything from Rug Cop to Pussy Soup. I want it all. I've already purchased, so I'm supporting him, Monster Seafood Wars. And if we get a US release of some of his other films, I'll definitely take a look at them. But yeah, I'm excited we get another one soon in Kaiju Mono here on the podcast. It's going to leave your score for Outer Man at 7.6, mine at 7.6, which means the podcast final score is an 8 out of 10, round up.
I'm very happy with that. That's exactly where I wanted it. I was hoping it would end up there. I actually thought you were going to be a little higher in the evocative thing. So I was like, I might be marking this down a little bit, but I'm very, very happy. This is exactly where I wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's surprising. I honestly think for a lot of folks, this might rate a little lower, but where we're at this, you know, we're reviewing and rating these movies in kind of order for a reason. I think this is like the best kind of postmodern time to start looking at these series. And this is a very, very fun one for that reason. Yeah. So that's going to do it for us. 8 out of 10 for Outer Man, kind of a surprise, because Monster X Strike Back. Well, I gave it an 8 as well. I enjoyed that movie. You gave it a 6. So it was in the same kind of general neighborhood. We gave that one a 7 out of 10. So Minoru Kawasaki, pretty good for us so far.
Yeah, I mean, I was much more lukewarm on Monster X, but yeah, this is great. If there is a very solid release that comes out for this one, I will absolutely get it.
Yeah, so watch this on Amazon Prime if you've got it. I think it's like, you know, a $2 or $3 rental if you don't have Prime, so that's not crazy. I was ready to do that as well. Oh no, you can watch it through Midnight Pulp, which has some other films.
Oh, Midnight Pulp is great.
Other kind of kaiju stuff from Kawasaki as well. So that's going to do it for us. If you want to talk, kaiju things. You can find us on social media, Kaiju Versus History. Your social medias, you can email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. Check out our website, kaijuversushistory.com, or, you know, rate and review where you find our podcasts on the Cosmic Crit Discord channel, which is one of our other podcasts. You can join the channel that is specifically about Kaiju Versus History if you want to chat us up. That is always an option there. And last but not least, our Letterboxd account, where you can see all of our reviews in five-star format. Letterboxd does 5 stars. We do 10. But they do half stars. So it's basically the same thing. This would be a 4 out of 5 stars on there, which in our book is one of our liked films. It is 8, 9s, and 10s go into a special folder of favorites. So this is getting in there by the skin of its teeth, but it's just barely an 8 out of 10 movie. What are we doing next week, Miles?
Oh boy, Patrick. Well, thank you, buddy. And thank you, listeners. We're going to catch you next week when we look at the cybernetic and CGI jungle of Netflix's misguided first adaptation of an animated King Kong. That's right. Tune in next week for History Versus Kong, King of the Apes.